Is there anybody else today? All right. One, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear little Happy birthday to you.
All right. This is always a weird time of the year in trying to figure out what to do next and what to preach next. And so I'm giving you kind of the game plan. Today we will be talking about what I think is very important, not Thanksgiving. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving. I know that's not very creative, but it's what I really think God just all week long has put on my heart, the importance of being thankful. Even when it's hard. So this morning we will talk about Thanksgiving, and then beginning next Sunday we'll start talking about looking for the Messiah. And all during the month of, I've kind of changed plans, all during the month of December we will talk about the real meaning of Christmas and how it came to be. And then when we get back in January, I'll start back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and that it will just work and flow better that way. But anyway, this morning we want to talk about Thanksgiving, because it kind of has dawned on me that our culture, not just children, but our culture is losing this thankful part. I can remember as a kid, my mom coming in back in the old days, that shows how old I am, and she would say, "You've got to write thank you notes for your gifts." I can remember getting married, and we got married, and we got a lot of wedding gifts, and Julie was teaching, and I remember writing a lot of them. It was just something that was expected. Nowadays, you know, I found out later on when I became a pastor, I would do nothing but write thank you notes all the time, because people are so grateful, I mean, so kind and generous. And so, you know, I hate to do it, but I put a generic thank you for the gifts that you give us, because y'all are wonderful about doing that. But I was raised with a mom who said, "You're going to say thank you." I remember my dad, some of the lessons he used to teach me, that when we'd go in public and somebody would open the door for you, what would you say? And if I didn't say thank you, my dad would explain to me, "Yes, you do. You say thank you when someone holds the door open for you." And I really believe one of the number one ways you can fight depression, anxiety, stress, is developing what the Bible teaches is a thanksgiving. Learning to live every single moment of every single day with a thankful heart. Now, the interesting thing is, the Bible, which I will confirm that in just a second, the Bible has the truth, but psychology has discovered that gratitude scientifically improves your life. In other words, if you learn to say thank you, if you express gratitude, it improves your life. I would tell you teenagers that if you start saying thank you at school to your teachers, if you start saying thank you, if you have a job, to the people you work for, I guarantee you, if you say the word thank you a lot, it improves everything in your life. Now, scientifically, here's what Psychology Today says happens. Number one, gratitude opens the door to more relationships. It went on to say, studies have shown if someone says thank you, you're more likely to want to be a friend with them. Now think about it. When people say thank you, I kind of pay attention because you don't hear it much anymore. And they went on to show that people who are thankful are people that people want to be friends with. Gratitude not only helps you with more with relationships, they found that gratitude improves your physical health. Grateful people experience fewer aches and pains. So in other words, if you start being grateful, it makes you feel better. A third thing, gratitude improves your psychological health. It talked about in the study how we live in a very toxic world where there's toxic people and toxic emotions. And one of the ways you can deal with all that is to practice being grateful, saying thank you, not only to people, but to God Himself. It dawned on me this morning, these kids get a piece of candy every week and don't say thank you. And you say, Bill, that's not that big of a deal. Yes, it is. Everybody needs to be grateful. Everybody needs, it improves your psychological health. It also, when you're grateful, it enhances empathy and reduces aggression. So in other words, if you're a thankful person, you tend to not be as angry as other people because you're constantly counting your blessings and really realizing how blessed you really are. Also, it said grateful people sleep better. Grateful people have higher self-esteem. Grateful people have a better mental capacity. And so everything in this study said that being grateful is an incredibly good thing to be for you. Now, it also is better for other people. I love hearing the words, thank you. And yet in our culture today, we're losing that. And here's why. We live, even in the church, in a consumer mentality. You know what that means? If you don't give me what I want, I'm not going to go there. Now, I want you to think about this. As a pastor, how do I choose the right translation? I can't. Everybody has different ones. I choose, and if you want me to be honest, I'll just pull out the Greek. We'll just open the Greek text. That is pretty close to what it should be. Or can I sing the right song? Or can I? I mean, there's no, look, I mean, y'all are all different looking. I hate to tell you that. You have different likes and dislikes, and it's impossible to make everybody happy. But in our world today, it's kind of like, if you don't make me happy, then I'm out of here. So I don't worry about that so much anymore. Because here's what I know. When you're a grateful person and you walk into the doors of this church, you're full of gratitude. And when you're full of gratitude, what comes out is graciousness. What comes out is what you're full of. So how do you have this different way of living? Well, that's what I want to talk to you about. First of all, I'm going to say this. Ingratitude or not being thankful is a sin. Did you know that? Not being thankful is a sin. And the Bible teaches this, and it's pretty strong. If you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, if you will look down to verse 21, you will hear a story. Now, we always want to talk about the sinners out there, the people who do all the immoral things. Well, listen to what Romans 1 says. It says, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God. And listen to this. Or even give Him thanks. As a result, it says, and they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. Instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere men and birds and animals and reptiles. And so when he looks at the people, he says, listen, here's what their problem was. They didn't recognize who God was because God was not like what they wanted. But here's the big thing. They were ungrateful. Now I want you to think about your spiritual life, your relationship with God this morning. Are you grateful? Are you grateful to Him for your salvation? Are you grateful to Him for your life? Do you realize if you walked in this place, more than likely that means you had a car to get you here. You were able to walk in. You're able to breathe on your own. If you're here this morning, you should be grateful. But here's the bigger picture. You're here to worship a God that loves you. You're not coming in here to sing three songs, hear a sermon, go home. No, you should be walking in this place to worship a God who loves you. So, ingratitude is a sin. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is another passage. People, you know, they start talking about the end times whenever Israel got into war. And listen, people, I hate to burst your bubble. We've been in the end times for a while. Paul wrote Timothy and said this. He said, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. Now, think about what I'm about to read and think about if you see this in our culture. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. Ungrateful. I'm telling you, we live in a time that is so ungrateful. You know what our biggest problem is? We're entitled to everything, even though we're really not. People today don't say thank you because they think they're entitled to whatever they get. And let me tell you, we ought to be grateful for everything. For food, for life, for everything. But in the last days, people will be ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. Wow, doesn't that sound like today? They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. See, we don't think a lot of times about being ungrateful as being a sin. And yet, in Luke chapter 17, look at this story. Jesus tells a story, or actually Luke tells a story about a true situation in his day, in Jesus' day. In verse 11, it says, now listen to this. As Jesus continued on towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered the village, there 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Okay? 10 guys who have the worst disease known to man because you had to leave your family. You were in a camp where everybody had leprosy. They see Jesus. They're crying out to Jesus, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priest. As they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. And then listen to what Luke says. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give me glory, give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has made you healed. One guy. If you had a terminal illness, like leprosy in that day, it could be a different one today, and Jesus came and healed you, would you not tell him thank you? Gratitude is something that our culture is losing. And even believers in Jesus Christ are losing this thanksgiving. Now, the interesting thing in Scripture teaches us that being thankful should be part of our lifestyle. You, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, whether you're a teenager or whether you're a senior adult or a mid-age adult, one of the characteristics that ought to be in your life, if you know Jesus and you love Him, is thankfulness. Listen to what it says in Colossians chapter 2. Here is really what it means to be a growing Christian. Listen to verse 5. And now, just as you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, you must continue to follow Him. Let your roots grow down into Him, and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. And then listen to this. If you're growing, if your roots are in Jesus Christ, listen to what it says. And you will overflow with thankfulness. Believers in Jesus Christ who are growing in their walk with Christ should be overflowing with thankfulness. In other words, when you bump into them, thankfulness just comes out. And yet a lot of times, what comes out is not thankfulness. And people, I promise you, we can change our little world if we just become thankful. And we say it out loud. We say it to people. Do you realize every Sunday we have adults teaching children? When was the last time anybody said thank you to them? We have adults teaching teenagers. When was the last? I mean, we have so much to be thankful for. And that is a sign of a mature Christian. Not that they complain and criticize, but they are just so grateful for what God has given them. And then you look at Colossians, same book of the Bible, chapter 3, verse 15, and he says this, and always be thankful. Always be thankful. When I came up to our house this week, you know, we have a million things on our front porch, but one of the things we did have on the front porch was a pumpkin. And it was a ceramic pumpkin. And I'm coming up there on the porch, and my daughter says, hey, Dad, guess what? And I look down at the ceramic pumpkin, and guess what? It was broken. And do you know what? I could have got mad. Julie probably bought it at the dollar store, but I don't know. I could have got mad, but my grandson broke it. That means he's at my house. That means that we didn't put it where he couldn't break it. Listen, no kid can be accused of breaking something intentionally when they're 2 or 4 years old. They just break. But I thought, you know, instead of being mad, I'm like, well, I guess it's going to the trash can. We had a lot of stuff go to the trash can. We need to go through all the toys and get rid of all the broken toys because there's a lot of broken toys. But we need to be thankful. Always be thankful. And then in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, he says, be anxious for nothing. My biggest struggle in my Christian life is that I am anxious. I worry. I'm just good at it. How many of you are good at worrying? I mean, I excel in it, unfortunately. And Philippians 4, 6 and 7, listen to what he says. He says, Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Okay? Don't worry, pray. Then he says this, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Man, do you know how many times I probably forget to thank God for just the little things? You know, we used to sing the song, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. When was the last time you just took inventory of all the good things you have to thank God for? We need to live it, not just talk about it, but live it. And then the final scripture that talks about that is Ephesians 5:20. There's other ones that says, and give thanks for everything. Give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the hardest things to do is to give thanks for everything. And yet, that is one of the best things you can do. You say, Bill, how do you do that? Well, when I'm going through a trial, which I go through just like you do, and I give him thanks even for my trials, the one thing I do is I ask him to teach me something. And every time I do that, I have something to be. Every trial, every death, every sickness we've had, I've learned about the goodness of God. Because you learn what you look for. And when you develop an attitude that says thank you, it's much easier to do that. So here's what I would say. I want to challenge you to do this. This is the first point, then I'm almost done. Number one, practice saying thank you. Just like those kids, every one of them said thank you. Practice saying thank you. When someone opens the door, you say thank you. If you're going down the road and someone kind of pulls over and you pass around them, in Texas, you know what we do? We go, that's thank you. When someone does something nice for you, say thank you. I want to challenge you to see how many times you can thank God publicly and privately for what he has given you. It will change your attitude. I promise that. If you go to a counselor, they'll give you a gratitude journal to write down what you're thinking. You start being grateful, it changes the way you see the world. So practice that. Second, teach your children and grandchildren to be thankful. I mean, we said over and over to Liam and Zane, what do you say? I'd give them some, what do you say? And until we get the given answer, you say, Bill, that's ridiculous. No, it works. It works. How did I learn to say thank you? My mom and dad taught me to. So as a church, not only, and you know what? The kids need to hear us be thankful. I'm thankful you're here today. It's deer season in Arkansas. That's a coin flip whether some people will be here. I'm grateful you're here. It's kind of cloudy outside. I'm grateful that you're here. I'm grateful that you showed up. And I'm not lying. You see, we've got to develop that. Teach it to the kids. Teach it to these teenagers. All right, I'm giving you all an assignment. Y'all look up here. I come to school every Tuesday. Right? And what do I bring every Tuesday? Okay. And what is something we're going to say every Tuesday after you eat all the pizza? Okay. Good, good, good. You know, it is something that is learned. So we have to learn to practice being thankful. Then here's the last thing. God invites us to come to church and be grateful. In Psalm 100, only five verses, and I want you to get a picture of what church should be like. Church should be coming and singing and praising God with a smile on your face. There was only one time that the Jews were not to celebrate when they came to their worship. It was Yom Kippur. That's when they confessed their sins. But in Psalm 100, you have one of my favorite songs. Listen to what it says. It says, "Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth." Every once in a while, it's okay to shout. Every once in a while, it's okay to shout. You say, "Baptists don't shout." That's a problem. What are we? Dignified? Listen, here's where, you know why we don't shout in church sometimes? Now, don't shout while I'm preaching, but I'll tell you why. It's not real. You people of all people ought to know this. When you go to a football game and your team wins, which, sorry about that, neither one of us have shouted much when it comes to the Razorbacks or Baylor Bear. How many of you went to the state championship when Mount Ida won it? Raise your hand. Did you shout any? Listen, we shout because it's real. And I love this picture. Shout with what? Joy. Why do Christians look depressed when they're singing to the God of creation? Worship the Lord with gladness. Another translation says, serve the Lord with gladness. Are you smiling as you come to worship Him today? Worship Him with, come before Him singing with joy. When you sing, sing with joy. Have a smile on your face. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. In other words, we're His. We come to church to worship a God that is alive. But we come to church often doubting it. We sing like He's somewhere else. If He was here today, would it change the way you sing? Well, He is here. Then look what He says. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. When you walked in the doors of this church, did you walk in with thanksgiving? Go into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is what? Good. Even when your life is falling apart, things aren't going your way, the Lord is good. He's always good. His unfailing love continues forever. He always will love us. And His faithfulness continues to each generation. Listen, when you walk into this room, you ought to walk in with a smile on your face. You ought to, if you feel like shouting every once in a while, shout. But the King of Kings is here. And He deserves more than what we give Him sometimes. And that's the thing. Gratitude changes your life. Now, here's why I'm going to close this. I want you to listen to a song. It's a hard song for me. It's a very emotional song. Okay, but it came at a time in my life, and I just it puts perspective on what we do here this morning. So the words will be on the screen, and I want you to listen to it, to read the words. A lot of times when I play this song, it's called Gratitude. A lot of times when I play this song at home, I cry. Because He's so good. So I'm going to ask Caleb to get it started. And I want you to just listen and read the words and think about your worship.
Oh. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah. Just one move with my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a heart. Except for a heart singing hard.
been a busy week, and kind of last night Julie had gone to bed, and I was sitting in the house and thinking back over the week, and I put that song and I wept like a baby. I'd been listening to some tapes of my dad's voice. Had an empty house. But all I could think of was how good God is. And, you know, if you're having a hard day, a hard week, find that song. Get along with God. And there's nothing unbiblical about just when he said he lifted his hands, I just lifted and said, here it is, take it all, God. Every once in a while, you need to have those times with him where you're worshiping the King of the universe. And it is an awesome thing. And how God needs to forgive us when we're not thankful for each other, for the gifts he gives us, but how horrible to come into the church and play church and leave without thanking him for all that he has given us. Gratitude, thanks for living. It's a better way to live. Better way to live. Let's pray. Father, the only way I can live in a world that is so full of difficulty and illness and problems is because of you. I know that nothing can separate me from you, that you're in complete control. And Father, I just have to be sure to praise you for who you are and what you mean to me. And I praise the church. We'd never come in here just to play church. That we would come in with thanksgiving. That we would come in grateful for your everlasting love. It never ends. And Lord, I pray that as we go out this week, that we would tell people over and over and over again, thank you, thank you. That we would tell you over and over again, thank you, thank you. Because when we do that, something happens to us and to those that we thank. Father, I look forward to Christmas, but I love Thanksgiving. Because it's a time where we take inventory of all the good things and difficult things that we have in life. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the people. I just love them. I thank you for putting me here. I would have never chosen this place. Didn't even know where it was. But you said, hey, Mount Ida is going to be home, Bill. And I'm so glad that you said that. Lord, I pray for those that are heavy-hearted this morning. I pray that you would lift them with your supernatural peace, your joy. And Lord, help us to share that love with other people. In Jesus' name, amen. Couple of, I always